It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to another episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. If you'd like to subscribe to our show, you can always find us on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, all the places, usual places that you find podcasts. If you have an iPhone, you can just use your podcast app, do a search for Secrets of Staffing Success, and make sure that all of our brand new episodes are sent directly to your phone. So we've been doing this for a couple months now, and mostly we've been talking with staffing owners, staffing executives. So I wanted to take a little bit of a detour this week because I feel like there's other people out there who have a lot of knowledge about the staffing industry and certainly, you know, have helped a lot of staffing firms achieve levels of success. And our guest this week is one of those people. He is the president of Talon Resources. He is Tom Erb. Tom, thank you so much for coming on the show this week.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd.
All right. Like I like to have everybody do at the beginning here, kind of give us your 60-second elevator pitch on Talon Resources, who you guys are, what you guys do.
Sure. So a little bit about my background. I've been in the staffing industry for over 20 years now, and I'm the founder of Talon Resources. We are a consulting, training, and recruiting company specifically for the staffing industry. So we work with companies, staffing firms of all different sizes, from startups all the way up to billion-dollar-plus staffing firms, international firms, and everything in between. Our client base is pretty much representative of the industry as a whole. A lot of smaller companies, some mid-sized companies, and a handful of the large national and international companies.
Let's start off with a big one here, because you know, we've mostly been talking with staffing owners and staffing managers here so far in this series, and you kind of have a unique perspective because you talked with, like you said, a whole bunch of staffing firms of all different sizes and shapes and all over the country. So you have a kind of a unique perspective on the industry. So start off with a big one here. What is right now the number one mistake that you see most staffing firms making?
Yeah, you're right. We do have a unique perspective. We've worked with hundreds of staffing firms. I've consulted to all different types, all different staffing verticals. It always comes down to one thing, which is lack of differentiation. Staffing firms, they really struggle to show that they're different from the competition. And because of that, our clients and prospects, they really have no other means of sifting through than just going based on price. And so I see that as a real problem. Differentiating yourself, creating a value proposition are really critical, both on the candidate side and the client side. And it's something that 99% of staffing companies don't really have a good handle on.
So how do you address that with them? Can you be very candid with them in that aspect and say, you know, you guys need to figure out what sets you apart, you know, and how do they take that usually?
Yeah, well, you know, that's usually what they bring us in for. So it is, it's a frank conversation that we have. And in many cases, they know it. And I talk to owners of companies and salespeople with staffing companies. And in many cases, they go, we know that what we're saying isn't different. We just don't know how to change it. And in some cases, they really haven't thought it through. And, a lot of times what they feel are differentiators, they is more of a belief that they have that they're better than other staffing companies. And they might be. The problem is that everybody's out there talking about things like quality and service delivery and access to a talent pool that others don't have access to, which I'd love to know where that is. But yet there's nothing to back it up. And so you not only have to have the differentiators, what is it that makes you different? How does that provide value to your customers? But also you need to be able to back that up with something that's quantifiable. And so that's what we have. That's usually where they kind of have that aha moment is when they're talking about, well, the quality of our placements is better. Okay, well, how do you prove that? I'm the most skeptical prospect out there. Prove it to me that what you're saying is true. And that's usually when it kind of breaks down. That's when they say, okay, we need to give more thought to this, and we really need to figure out, you know, what it is that makes us different that we can actually provide proof on.
What are those, maybe, when you look at staffing firms, to differentiate a $2 million staffing firm to a $20 million staffing firm, what's that one or two traits that separates those two types of companies?
Usually the difference between a $20 million staffing company and a $2 million is that the $20 million one has figured out a couple things. One is that they typically have better tenure, and so they're able to maintain some momentum and they're able to build on it. A company that's been in business for a while that's $2, $3 million, you know, may have more turnover in some cases, and that may be causing a problem for them because you really aren't able to build that momentum. So I think in many cases that $20 million company has figured out their internal staff a little bit better. The other piece is that they've been able, as they grow, to develop layers of structure. And a lot of things that hold the smaller staffing companies back is that the owner of the company tends to also be one of the big producers. And it's hard for them to take a step back or to have either to transition from a producer to a leader, or they have trouble bringing somebody else in that's going to do that. I would say those are the two biggest challenges that I see when I come in and I see the difference between a $2 million and a $20 million staffing company.
Well, you kind of led me into my next question there, and it's something that is kind of joked about, but there's a certain air of reality to it, and that's, you know, we hear staffing owners say, we're not that good at filling our internal jobs. You know, we can't find people to work for our companies, and, you know, most people look at it and go, well, isn't that what you kind of do for a living? Shouldn't you be a little better at that? But, you know, why is it that sales reps and recruiters and branch managers are so hard to recruit, and what can staffing firms do better in their own recruiting?
Yeah, it's the whole example of the cobbler's kids with no shoes, right?
Yep.
And so it's we see that all the time. In fact, that's why we created our recruiting division a few years ago, is because we were working with so many clients, helping them with sales strategy, strategic planning, operational analysis, and then they would get to the point where they say, okay, well now we're ready to add some people. And we're going to just throw a job posting out on a job board and hope for the best. And so, what it really boils down to is that people underestimate the amount of time and effort that it takes to really really recruit and select top talent. And you know, our recruiting division, we average somewhere between 40 to 50 hours, even more on some searches. And so if you think about your staffing company owner, 40 to 50 hours for them to devote to one position to bring in, really, it's not practical, and it's something they don't think about. I talk to a lot of most staffing companies, they go the job board route. Sometimes they go the referral route, which is good. And occasionally they'll say, yeah, I jump on LinkedIn every once in a while and I'll send a message out to somebody. But they're maybe putting in minutes or an hour into it when really they've got to put a lot more time and effort into it. And I think people just, you're looking where your money is, and you're looking where how do you generate revenue? And I'm not generating revenue by hiring internal talent. Now, however, you know, from a short-term standpoint, that's correct. From a long-term standpoint, that person is the one that's going to hopefully generate a lot of money for you, and is a really critical role. And it goes back to that whole thing about why do the companies that struggle at $2 or $3 million to grow, whereas you have $20 million ones? Well, the $20 million ones, in many cases, tend to spend more time and effort and plan for internal positions. They work on it a lot more. So that's why staffing companies struggle to hire their own internal staff. And it's across the entire industry, across all different verticals.
Yeah, and the other big issue, you know, it goes along with hiring is, you know, the number one issue right now in the staffing industry is finding qualified candidates. You know, probably 99% of the clients that we're talking to right now, this is their main concern. This is what's keeping them up at night. What are you recommending to your clients to deal with these candidate shortages right now?
Yeah, it's funny. So I've been speaking in the industry and doing training for over 7 years now, and probably for the first 5 years, the demand was all around sales training and sales and speaking on sales topics. The last 2 years, it's all been around recruiting. And we have seen a fundamental shift. There are a lot of reasons for it. You've got the baby boomers that are retiring. You've got the skill gap. You've got this shift away from, particularly in commercial staffing, you've got this shift away from a lot of people just don't want to do more your entry-level types of positions, the less desirable types of positions. So there are a lot of reasons why that is. What we're telling people is that what we see is when we go in and we're talking to a staffing company and we're really checking into their recruiting strategy, what we're finding is that most staffing companies still are spending so much time trying to get new people in the door that they're completely neglecting their ATS and their database of candidates that they've already spent all this time and effort and money to get in there. And what they're really trying to do is they're trying to perfectly time somebody when they are actively looking for a job, which can be a matter of, in some cases, minutes or hours, depending on how in demand that skill set is. Somebody puts their, you know, you have a .NET developer that puts their resume out on a job board. They're getting bombarded within minutes. And so rather than taking a look at that small window of time to try and get them placed on a job, instead, focus on candidate engagement, focus on keeping in touch with them during the entire life cycle, their entire career life cycle, when they're not actively looking, when they're happy in their job, when they're maybe starting to think about looking for a job but haven't started doing that. Keep in touch with them through all those different phases so that when it comes around the next time that they want to look for a job, they don't go onto the job boards, they don't reach out to your competitors, they reach out to you first. So it's really the critical piece right now, and the part that the opportunity that people have is to really leverage that database.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it's one of the frustrations. You know, I deal with most of our clients that are using our content marketing program, and you know, we ask them, you know, what's your biggest challenge right now? And like I said, 99% are saying I can't, you know, I can't find quality candidates, you know, candidate shortage. And we say, well, you know, why don't you send out a candidate newsletter? It's part of the package that you purchased. Well, no, I don't want to do that. Well, right. You're telling me a problem. We're coming up with a solution, a very basic solution. It's not going to, you know, obviously fix everything, but at the very least, they should be treating their candidates like they would treat a prospective client. Because if they're not staying top of mind with their candidates, if they're not, you know, sending them really good information, it doesn't have to be jobs, just really good job search information, career advice, then when it does come time, like you said, for this person to look for another job, they're going to go to XYZ staffing down the street instead of calling the company who's, you know, they're already in their ATS. So I'm very glad you mentioned that. Thank you.
Yeah. One of the things that we actually encourage our clients to do, our staffing clients, is to get away from the metric of interviews. And to some people, they may scratch their head a little bit about it, but let me explain why we do that. The whole point of interviews is to bring new people in the door. And when we focus as a primary metric, candidate interviews, then we are telling our recruiters that the most important thing is for you to go out and get new people. So what instead I tell my clients to do is replace that with candidate conversations. Job conversations. And so these are regardless. They can be new interviews. They can be talking to candidates. They can be talking to somebody that they source on LinkedIn. But they also equally as important should be having conversations with people that are already in their database that maybe applied 2 or 3 weeks ago and took a job. Well, maybe they're not happy with that job. Or maybe it's been 3 months or it's been 6 months. And so the important part is that we're having enough candidate job conversations. And that doesn't have to be about a specific job. It can be about, hey, how are things going in your career? How are things going with the current position you're in? Yeah, have those types of conversations. Replace that with the interview metric. Now, the interview metric should be in place if you're a new company starting up. But if you've got tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of candidates in your database, then let's focus on really leveraging and maximizing that database and building relationships with candidates, like I said, through their entire career life cycle.
That's a really great takeaway there. You mentioned metrics, which, I mean, you're doing a great job of leading me into my next questions here, Tom. You're like a professional broadcaster here. perfect segues. What maybe two or three key metrics should staffing sales managers be paying the most attention to right now?
There are actually four that I recommend Okay. Everybody does. And they're representative of different stages of the sales process. So the first one is sales activities. I look at phone calls, whether that's a voicemail or a live connect. I look at email interactions, so two-way communication, not just blasting out 100 emails, but actually having email conversations. I look at conversations at networking events. I look at conversations on LinkedIn with actual back and forth interaction, not just posting discussions on LinkedIn or sending an email that doesn't get a response. But those are what I would categorize as activities. The second one is appointments. And now if you're local or regional, those would be in-person meetings. If you're doing staffing more on a national basis where you're talking to people all across the country, you're obviously not going to have in person, but they would be more formal phone conversations, typically ones that you schedule. They might be web conferences, or they could just be scheduled calls that are more in depth. And so that's the second piece. And you can kind of see that activities leads to appointments. Appointments leads to the third metric, which is pipeline. Is your opportunities that are actually in your pipeline, how much do you have that you're currently working on? What percentage of that is going to close? What stages are they in? And so that's the third metric. And then the last metric is how are you doing compared to gross profit goal or quota, depending on what you call it. So if you see that somebody is lacking in any one area, then you know that at a certain point they're going to have problems down the sales process. So if somebody's not doing the activities now, eventually they're not going to have the appointments that they need to have, which means they're not going to get opportunities into the pipeline, which means they're not going to have enough opportunities to close them to be able to hit their gross profit goal or quota. If they don't have enough appointments, then again, they're going to have pipeline and quota problems. So it allows us to take a look and see how healthy is their sales process all the way through from beginning to end. And then we're able to make adjustments based on that. So those are the four that I look at. There are others to look at too, but those are usually more diagnostic metrics that I want to take a look at that really are supporting these four key metrics.
We're going to take a real quick break, but when we get back, I want to ask Tom, where are the biggest threats and the biggest opportunities in the staffing industry in the coming year? It's all coming up on The Secrets of Staffing Success.
Hi, this is Brad Smith, Director of SEO and Social Media here at Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing companies, you might be having a challenge with recruiting. You probably spend tens of thousands of dollars on recruitment marketing, all to drive candidates to your website. But what happens if they don't apply the first time? We did a research study and found that candidates coming back to your website a second, third, or fourth time are 2 to 3 times more likely to apply for a position than first-time visitors. With Haley Marketing's re-recruiting program, we tag visitors to your website and continually show them ads to get them back to your website and drive more applications, drive more conversions, and make those recruiting dollars more effective. For more information about re-recruiting, contact us today at 888-696-2900.
Welcome back to the Secrets of Staffing Success. We're talking with Tom Erb from Talon Resources. As you look forward to the next few years in staffing, what do you see as the biggest threats to the industry, and where do you maybe see some opportunities that you're kind of really excited about?
It's a good question. It's one that comes up a lot. You hear a lot about the human cloud. You hear a lot about the gig economy, which frankly we are the gig economy part of it. What you hear over and over again is that we're going to go the way of the travel agent eventually because of the human cloud. And for those of you that don't know what the human cloud is, it's web-based staffing. It is the Uberization of the staffing process. So companies like TaskRab and Upwork and those types of companies that where you can go and you can hire somebody that is basically a freelancer and can do some work for you. A lot of people think that that is ultimately going to be our demise and that we're going to go the way of travel agents. I look at it the other way. I look at it that if you take a look at a similar type of industry and profession, that went a different round actually benefited from online services is realtors. And I think that's really where we're going to look at because we have a certain level of expertise that is going to be hard to automate. You can automate parts of it, but at the end of the day, there's still going to be this human interaction, I believe, that is going to be very similar to the real estate industry. And I just bought and sold a house a few months ago. I was all over Zillow and Trulia and Realtor.com and all those. But at the end of the day, I wanted to have a real estate agent that knew what they were doing, that could really help guide us through the process on both buying a house and selling a house, and was willing to spend, a considerable amount of money on that. And that's where I see that it's going to go. And interestingly, Upwork, one of the human cloud companies out there, recently made an announcement that they were actually introducing a new service that would add a human element to their online service. So I think it's interesting. We're still kind of seeing how this all plays out, but a lot of people look at that as a threat. They talk about artificial intelligence and automation. I think all of that is just an opportunity. I've joked around with many other staffing veterans that were around back when Monster came out. And I still vividly remember conversations we had in the office about, is Monster going to be the end of staffing? And of course, we know how that's played out. So I think right now we're in a really good place. I think we're going to continue to be. I don't look at any of these things that are coming up really as threats. If anything, the biggest threat that we have with us is just the dwindling labor pool. And if we don't continue to adapt and get better at maximizing the relationships that we have with that talent pool in all different stages of their life cycle, like I talked about, then we're going to have problems. But I think we're going to adapt to that, and we'll continue to be a very strong industry for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that whole balance has come up in a few of our conversations that we've had on this show, exactly what you talked about, that balance between the technology side of the things and the human side of things. Where are we right now as an industry? Are we relying too heavily on one side or the other, or are we making a pretty good balance of things there?
I think we, as an industry, we are slow to adapt to technology. Hmm. And I think that, you always, and maybe that's every industry, you have your early adopters and then you have the rest of the group come along, your laggards. I think that we are still, very job board centric, as an industry. And, the industry has changed and job boards are still a critical part of a recruiting strategy. Don't get me wrong. But for many staffing companies, job boards are their recruiting strategy. And there are all sorts of different new technologies that are emerging all the time, even just utilizing the ATS. Most ATS providers will tell you that their clients use less than 20% of the functionality of the ATS, and 20% might be high for some of them. So I think that it's one of those things where we need to stay on top of technology. You got to kind of sift through what are the flavors of the month, what is a fad and what is real, what's a new technology that's actually going to be transformative. And it's just changing so rapidly right now that we really have to keep our finger on that pulse.
I wanted to kind of give you the opportunity to talk about exactly, you know, what it is you do. We talked about it real quickly at the beginning, but I wanted to kind of give you an example. We had a client who had come to us a couple weeks ago, and you know, at first the phone call was, well, what we're doing isn't working. But the more I probed, the more it kind of turned into almost a cry for help. And this client had said, you know, business has gone down over the past 5 or 6 years exponentially, you know, from $2 million to $200,000, you know, and it was just her and another part-time person. And, you know, I asked her a very point blank question. I said, other than the one or two things you're doing with us, it sounds like you guys are kind of just sitting waiting for the phone to ring off the hook. And she said, yeah, to be honest with you, we kind of are. And it really got to the point where we were worried, you know, and she's worried that she's going to have to close up shop, you know, and very similar to what we kind of talked about, the differentiators just aren't real strong right now. But if somebody comes to you in a situation like that, and maybe this is an extreme situation, but where do you start with somebody like that?
Yeah, I think in a situation where somebody is really falling off, because our industry continues to grow. So just, you know, and depending on what vertical you're in, it's growing pretty rapidly. You know, if you're in healthcare, there's a huge demand. IT continues to have a strong demand. So I think there, if you're finding that you're going in the opposite direction pretty dramatically, then, you know, we have a conversation and say, you know, how committed are you to really wanting to turn this around? You know, what we find in most cases when somebody is struggling in our industry, when the industry is fairly healthy, is that there is not a real commitment to the sales and marketing piece of it. And, it's a constant, you constantly have to be going out and getting new business. You know, when I was running a large market for a national staffing company, and we would do annual budgeting, I would always budget for a 15% reduction in our standard business through no fault of our own. Because there are just things that are completely out of your control. You know, you can service everybody. You can be the best service delivery staffing company out there, and you still are going to lose a chunk of your business through no fault of your own. You're going to lose them to that client going under a national account or under a VMS or an MSP. You're going to lose them because their business goes down. You're going to lose them because they have new leadership and they decide to go a different route, a different strategy around contract staffing. You have a new person that all of a sudden comes in there and their best buddy is running another staffing company. There's all sorts of reasons why you lose business for no fault of your own. So it's kind of, what is it? You know, death by 10,000 cuts, or I don't know if I got the number right there, but death by a bunch of cuts.
Yeah.
It's like you're just kind of, you're just, if you don't do anything, if you don't get out there and continue to actively look for new business, you're probably going to just whittle away at what you have over the course of several years. And so it really comes down to how committed are you to going out and doing new business development, either as the owner of the company, is that something you like to do and you're good at, or you bring somebody in to do that. And unfortunately, what happens a lot of times is sales positions are the hardest positions to find.
Yeah.
They're the hardest to find good people. Most people are not successful in sales. And most owners of staffing companies at one point or another have been burned by bad staffing, by bad sales hires. And so a lot of times they get really gun shy because they go, well, I have zero success bringing them in. I spend all this money, I spend all this time, and now I've just wasted all that time and money. So that's what a lot of times happens.
A couple of fun questions before we let you go. I wonder if you could share one of your favorite, let's call it an eye roll moment from your consulting career. You don't have to name names. You don't have to tell us who it was, but one of those ones where you just look back on it and go, oh God, you know, they just weren't listening. They just, you know, they were too stubborn to take my advice. One of those types of moments.
Yeah. I don't want to point out a specific one, but I will tell you that the part that does scratch your head, and staffing firms have this too, is, you know, we have, you know, over the course of my career in consulting, I've had people come to me and pay me to advise them, only to not just disagree with what I have to say, but to actually argue against it. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, owners have every right, and owners and managers have every right to question recommendations and to talk through those and be pragmatic about it and make decisions based on their business and to take into consideration what we say. But it's always amazed me, and we haven't had very many, I would say, you know, less than a handful, count on less than one, you know, count on one hand or less. But it's amazing to me the ones that will just outright argue with you, and yet they're paying your paying for you to advise them and have come to you, you know, supposedly for your expertise. So I guess that's been the more of the head scratcher than anything.
All right, final question. If I could make you, let's say, president of staffing, president of all staffing all over the world, and you could make it mandatory for every staffing firm in the world to do one thing in their sales and marketing, what would that be?
It would be to create a structured sales process and stick with it. And overwhelmingly, the majority of staffing companies don't have any kind of sales process in place. It really consists of hiring a sales rep and then expecting the sales rep to know what they're doing and letting them kind of sink or swim and giving them maybe a little bit of direction. But for the most part, almost no staffing, I shouldn't say almost no, but a very small percentage of staffing companies have a structured sales process that's repeatable, that they stick with, and that they measure and that they manage and they hold people accountable to. So I would say if there's one thing, and maybe that's one big thing because there's lots of little things that go in there, but that's really where you're going to be successful from a sales standpoint, is having a structured sales process. Being able to measure your results and hold people accountable.
He is Tom Erb. He's the president of Talon Resources. Tom, thank you so much for all of your insight here. I know this is a little departure from our usual type of guests on Secrets of Staffing Success, but we know how much insight you have into the industry and experience you have in the industry. So this was one of those conversations I was really looking forward to. And thank you so much, and continued success to you and to everybody over there at Talon. And thank you again for sharing all your insight with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
My thanks to Tom Erb from Talon Resources. My favorite takeaway from our conversation with Tom was towards the end there, when he talked about what he would force staffing companies to do if he was the fictional president of staffing, about having that structured process. So many of our clients, when we ask them, you know, what's your sales process like? What's your sales and marketing process? Well, you know, we make a lot of cold calls, and, you know, we stop by, you know, we'll drive over to an office park and drop off donuts and drop off some pamphlets about our company, and that's really about it. And then we kind of wait for the phone to ring. If that's working for you, great. If that's how it's always worked and you're having success and you're happy with your level of success, great. But I think what separates good staffing firms from great staffing firms is that structured process. And not just a structured sales process, but a process that integrates sales and marketing. You're taking these marketing strategies, turning them into marketing tactics, and implementing them. And then basing your sales follow-up off of those marketing tactics. So, you know, maybe you're sending out a brochure or you're sending out some sort of direct mail piece. Instead of just waiting for the phone to ring off the hook, follow up with those people that you've sent it to. So having different steps along the way that your sales team can follow, I think, is really what set, like I said, sets apart the good to great staffing firms. And I also loved his metrics that he talked about too, because that's another thing that unfortunately not a lot of staffing firms pay attention to. Now we ask them, you know, well, what's been your most successful marketing tactics so far? Well, I don't really know. We don't really track where our business comes from. And then you always have those moments where, well, then how do you know what's working for you? You know, it's kind of one of those baffling moments for us as marketing advisors to the staffing industry when we hear clients say that, is, how do you know what's working? then those four key metrics that Tom had mentioned, I think, are really worth going back and taking a listen to and making sure that you are implementing and following those metrics in your company so that you know exactly what's working and what's not working so that you can make better decisions on your marketing and sales ROI. Those were two really, really great pieces of advice there from Tom. So again, my thanks to Tom Erb from Talon Resources. You can check out more at talonresources.com. And you can find more about Haley Marketing at haleymarketing.com, as well as on Twitter, on Facebook. You can follow us all there. We're on Instagram. We're all over social media. So make sure that you follow us there. And like I mentioned at the start of the show, if you would like to subscribe to this podcast, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play, on Stitcher, anywhere basically where you can find a podcast. Secrets of Staffing Success will be there. So we will talk to you again in 2 weeks. Thanks so much for listening to another great episode of Secrets of Staffing Success.